เป็นก็ยังไงIt's good to see you again and be with you. Try to remember that I'm not a speech maker or a minister or a philosopher. It's not words you want to hear.Many words can be spoken and nothing said. The answer you're looking for is within yourself. Everything you're looking for is within yourself. When I say within yourself, I don't mean your physical self.I mean within the self. The self is not within you. You are in the self. So when I say everything you're looking for is in the self, it includes your physical body and everything else. Everything is the self and you are that.All is well. From your upbringing, and you've probably heard of the word blasphemy. The only blasphemy that exists is the fact that you believe you're human. That's blasphemy.To believe that you are a human being, it's the ultimate lie. You are not what appears to be. Nothing is what it appears to be.Then who are you? You have to find out for yourself. Is there really a you? Are you really an individual? Are you separate from a tree, an animal, the world, the universe?Is there any separation? Find out. Do you really exist? Find out. Do you have a purpose in life?Find out. Again, it's blasphemous to believe that you were born as a human and you prevail and you dissolve. That's true blasphemy.It all begins when you awaken in the morning. That's the time that you should work on yourself. As soon as you open your eyes, you should make a statement such as, I am pure awareness. But never believe that your personal self is pure awareness. You're saying, I am is pure awareness. Your personal self, your ego, the personal I, can never be I am. That doesn't even exist. Therefore, think what you're saying when you say, I am pure awareness. You're not speaking about your little self. That doesn't count because that doesn't even exist. You're speaking of I am, pure awareness. Awareness of what? You're aware of something, for you claim I am pure awareness. You are aware of the fact that I am is consciousness. Pure awareness is consciousness, and I am is that. Do you realize the revelation? When you really know what you're saying, and you announce it with feeling, where you disregard the body-mind phenomena, and you simply state the truth about yourself, I am pure awareness. Awareness of I am is consciousness. When you make such a statement, you will notice that you become blissful. You just begin to feel wonderful all over, due to the fact that pure awareness, I am consciousness, expresses itself as bliss. They all really mean ultimate oneness. But as you express yourself this way, as soon as you open your eyes, something profound happens to you. You begin to feel the joy of yourself. You begin to feel total happiness, goodness. And then you can state, all is well. And you will know and feel that you are the beginning and the end. You will understand what Satchitananda means. You will know Para Brahman. You will feel a divine emptiness, nirvana. You will be at peace. For you will understand that you are the universe. And no thing exists but yourself. You are the self of the universe. just to hear this doesn't make you feel good. When you realize your divinity, that you are not a man or a woman, that you are not reincarnation or karma. There never was a time when you are not. That you are all pervading, transcendental bliss. Abide in your true nature. Stop believing that you are a sniveling human with problems. For whom are there problems? How can you, pure consciousness, absolute reality, think about a problem? Even if you say, well, life still goes on, I've got to meet my bills, I've got to go to the doctor, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. That's blasphemy. That's what you call blasphemy. Not that you're not going to do it, but your body has nothing to do with you. Your body, mind, and all of its affiliations does not even exist. Even Jay, who thinks he's blowing his nose. Good Jay. That's an illusion. You think I've got a cold, I've got an allergy, I've got to go to work tomorrow morning, I've got to wear my clothes. It is this that keeps you from realization. You'll wear your clothes, you'll go to work, you will do whatever your body came here to do. But don't worry about those things. Do not concern yourself about those things. The more human you are, the more you will say, if I don't take care of these things, who will? What eye are you talking about? There's only one eye, and that is consciousness. Try to get it through your thick skull that the powers that be know how to take care of all of your needs and meet them most abundantly. There is something that cares about you. The great mystery. Something loves you. When you get your bloated nothingness out of the way, as long as you believe that you've got to solve a problem, then you will have to solve a problem. Something will take care of you. Put first things first. And the first thing you have to remember is that you are pure awareness. You can tell yourself that. I am pure awareness. sure there's the mind that does this. But there's something that grabs hold of the mind and annihilates it as you turn into I Am. These are the things you should think about. I know it sounds strange when I say this, but do not concern yourself with the world. The world was here with all its destructive mechanisms before you came upon the scene. It will be here after you leave. People who do not understand Jnana Marga, Advaita Vedanta, they say it's your duty to help others, to make this a better world in which to live. But they do not understand that if you awaken and you become liberated, you become others. You are others. There's no one to help. This doesn't mean, again, that you will do nothing. Your body will appear to be helping to do all kinds of things. But the truth is, when you help yourself, and when you help others, you help yourself. It's all one. You wonder what to do with the rest of your life? Should I work? Should I sit at home? Should I join the army? Should I become a dictator of a country? All these great thoughts go through your mind. Do not allow that to happen. Catch your mind. Catch your mind thinking. And stop it. The mind is necessary as long as you are a human being. You make decisions. You know what's wrong or right, good and bad. Your mind creates the world of duality. But as you progress in the spiritual life, you begin to realize that the mind is a hindrance, not a friend. For it brings up all the things of the past and worries about the things of the future. Who needs a mind like that? Therefore, take control. And again, the best time to do this is early in the morning, as soon as you wake up. For the first thoughts that you think about will carry you through the day. And before you fall asleep, these thoughts that you think about before you go to sleep will continue when you wake up. So fall asleep, understanding that I am pure awareness. And you'll have a tendency to think, when you say I am, you're referring to your physical self. Catch yourself when that happens. Your physical self can never become enlightened. The finite can never know the infinite. The personal I can never become the universal I. I am is pure consciousness. So your consciousness, conscious, not personal. Not I am this or I am that. But pure consciousness. Existing as I am. I am that I am. Absolute reality. Beingness. Nirvana. Satchitananda. Emptiness. I am that. If you focus on those things during the day, before you fall asleep, when you wake up, most of the time, you will discover an amazing secret. You will discover that your work is being done better than when you were thinking about it. Everything will unfold the way it's supposed to. Yet you have to sort of, in a way, feel that in the beginning. Make yourself feel it. And put it first in your life. Before anything else. Think, if you will, of what comes first in your life now. It may be your husband, your wife, your job, your house, your car, your friend, your ambitions, your desires. This is what is keeping you back. You have to desire to rid yourself of past mistakes, past experiences, stop thinking of the future. And this is hard for most people to do. For they're always anticipating the future and worrying about the past. Yet this is exactly what they have to do, to let go of past and future both. your physical life is already planned. And all you have to do is to unfold beautifully into it. Everything will happen the way it's supposed to. You have to remember, there is no evil in the universal. So nothing evil can ever happen to you. If you think it can, it's because of your imagination. You have a certain concept, a preconceived idea of how you think things should be. And of course, you're always disappointed, because things are never the way you think they should be. Yet everything works out for your benefit, due to the fact there's nothing in the universe that can or wants to hurt you. Everything is on your side. From the minutest blade of grass to the giant cosmos, everything is on your side, due to the fact that you are that. Everything is on your side because there's only one. There's ultimate oneness. And that ultimate oneness is perfection, absolute reality, consciousness. That is omnipresence, all-pervading. So where is there room for evil? Where is there room for anything wrong? Why do you worry? Why do you fear? Why do you become upset? The power that brought you to this class knows what to do to continue your spiritual growth. But you have to put it first. It's like the story of the student who was in a class like this, and he kept asking his teacher, "Teacher, explain it more. I don't understand. Tell me more." And this went on and on. At the end of the class, when all the students left, the teacher told that particular student to stay here. And then he told him, "Follow me." He took him to the edge of a river. And he said, "Look into the river." The student did, and he pushed him into the water and held his head underneath the water until he nearly drowned. And then he pulled him up by the hair, and he looked in his face and he said, "What is it you wanted more than anything else in the world while you were under the water?" And all the student was able to do is to grasp for air. And he said, "Air, air, air." And the wise teacher said, "When you want to awaken, as much as you wanted air, you will." This is true of all of us. Just take a look at your personal life. Just for today. What did you want more than to awaken today? If you were angry, then you wanted that more than awakening. See, whatever you put your feelings into, that's what comes first in your life. if something upset you, then that became your God. You wanted that more than anything else. If you were in doubt, that became your God. Whatever turned you on, whatever turned you off, became your God for that time. And that's what you give your energy to. So you increase that condition. As an example, if you're having problems with somebody, the more you think about it, the more you try to take any kind of an action to stop it or to prevent it or to change it, the more you're saying, this is the truth about me. How should you react to something like that? You should not react. Something within you will do what it has to do, and you will be at peace if you allow it to do so. First things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Which means first things first. Focus your attention on the self. Realize that you are pure awareness. That you are aware that I am consciousness. Resulting in bliss. Therefore, you are a body of bliss. Not as a human body, when I use the term body, I mean the body of the universe. You are a body of bliss. Bliss is your nature. And in that bliss, there is nothing wrong. Calm down. Mellow out. Relax. You are the body of bliss, and your divine nature is consciousness. You can never have anything wrong in your life unless you put your mind on it and make it so. This is why you have to control your thinking. Do not allow your mind to tell you what's going on. If you learn to live in the moment, if you learn to center yourself and stay only in that moment, then you will be expressing consciousness. For consciousness is a moment thing. Consciousness is not yesterday or tomorrow. Consciousness is this moment. It's the gap between yesterday and tomorrow. The fourth stage of life. After waking, dreaming, and sleeping. Then there is consciousness. So putting first things first will alleviate all of the negative conditions of your life, if you have any. It will awaken you. And as you work on yourself and your mind brings up all kinds of things, as it will sometimes, in a very gentle way, ask yourself, to whom does this come? And keep still. And of course the answer will be, it comes to me. I feel out of sorts. I feel depressed. I feel as if I'm not getting what I want. I feel as if somebody's taking advantage of me. Further questioning. Who is this I? What is its source? Who gave the I birth? Where did it originate from? Who am I? There is never an answer to the question of who am I. By doing this process, you will immediately feel better. And every time the mind brings up something else, you use the same procedure. To whom did this come? Who is feeling this? I am? Just by saying I am, it will immediately take you out of your personal thoughts about yourself and lift you higher to what I am really is. Yet if you don't feel that, you can ask again, then who am I? And you keep doing this over and over and over. Someone called me the other day and told me, Robert, I've been practicing for 12 years and I feel despondent and I feel depressed. So I said, why? And he said, because all of my friends are enlightened except me. I had to laugh. How do you know? They told me. How can you explain that there are no others? It makes no difference what anyone else is doing. Let them all do what they will do. What does this have to do with you? When you try to straighten things out, when you try to change other people, when you try to make other people do what you want, you're holding up your spiritual progress. Bless everyone and let them go. Leave the world alone. The world doesn't need your help, thank you. This world, remember, is an emanation of your own mind. Therefore, you're seeing yourself when you look at the world. As you begin to go within, you will realize that you have always been within. There's nowhere to go. The within and without are the same. Pure consciousness. It begins with you. I can sit here and talk all night. But what are you doing about your life? How do you see yourself? Forget about time. Even though you say, I'm getting older, I haven't awakened yet, I hope I awaken before I die. This is all false thinking. No one is getting older, and no one has to awaken before they die because no one dies. Get rid of that type of thinking. Forget about your age. Forget about your body. And identify with consciousness. Identify with yourself. If you can just do that, everything else will take care of itself. I can promise you that. Be happy. Be radiant. Have a good word for everyone. Stop thinking of your needs. They will be met. If you stop thinking about them, how will they be met? Remember, there is only ultimate oneness. And the ultimate oneness has never needed anything. It is self-fulfilling, self-contained, all-pervading. So the one who thinks they need something is the deluded self, the personal ego, the I. But reality is present here and now. This means that you are fulfilled here and now. There is no thing you need, and there is nothing that has to change. I'm not saying you're going to keep on suffering if you think you're suffering. What I'm saying is simply that the one who thinks they are suffering is deluded. No one suffers. Take your mind off the pettiness. And begin to realize that your mind is causing you to feel these things. The belief that you are a body and a mind. Begin to dwell on who am I? Who's gone through these experiences? Who thinks they're getting old? Who thinks they will not make it in this life? Who? I do. Who am I? Continue the work. Do not worry about the world or other people. Work on yourself diligently. Constantly. Never let up. And you will find that you become happier and happier. The the old you is fading away, and you will awaken to yourself. Any questions?
Okay, so this person is saying, do you deal with the contents? Look at what is. Now, what I just got from you, what I just flashed on, what he's saying is, dealing with what is keeping me in the now, I think.
You're right. If you're thinking about your problems and dealing with what is, then you're stuck in that place. You have to let go of what appears to be and identify with your real nature, which is God or consciousness. And to the extent that you can identify with your real nature, to that extent will you find that everything is resolved in your life. It's not the other way around. If you're dealing with psychology, it is. For all psychologists and psychiatrists and mental people will tell you to deal with the problem. But you realize that when you deal with the problem, and even if you seem to resolve it, a new one pops up again.
Yeah, I understand that.
And another one pops up and never ends.
Yeah, well, it's what I'm saying is, it's like, you know, it's the dualities, I guess. Instead of looking for peace in the world, there isn't any peace in the world. There's violence in the world. So if I look at
No. There's no violence in the world and there's no peace in the world. Do not say one is different than the other. They're two sides of the same coin. But rather ask yourself, who sees the violence? For whom is there violence? For whom is there peace? It is the ego that's part of those things.
Yeah, I understand.
Get rid of both. We have a tendency to look at what's going on in the world. We see the Iraqi situation, there was a war. There's man's inhumanity to man, and we tend to say, I see violence. Violence is for the ego. Violence is for the personal I. Therefore, who am I? Am I the personal I? Am I the ego? If I am, then there will be violence and I will have to help to alleviate it. But if I am consciousness, that's completely transcendental. It is like you're a chalkboard and the violence are images that you draw on the chalkboard. They come and they go, the images. But the chalkboard always remains the same. So the world comes and goes. But consciousness always remains the same. It never fluctuates. Identify with consciousness and become that. And you'll be free of all these concepts.
Rabbi, I have a question. If one is serious about realization, can one do it by himself in solitude, by practice alone, or is it necessary to be a devotee to a teacher or guru?
It depends on the person. It is very difficult to go all the way by yourself. There are very few people who have done this. For it's difficult to transcend the mind. Being in the presence of a teacher who has transcended will cause you also to transcend. Being by yourself with the world pushing in on you from all directions makes it more difficult, but it's possible.
By being in present, do you mean like just stand in satsang?
Or yes. Just being in satsang is sufficient. Most of you think that you came here because you wanted to. But that's not true. You being here tonight and being at satsang most of the time, there's something deep within you fulfilling itself. You have earned it. There are no accidents. If you took the average person walking in the street tonight and brought them or her to satsang, they will be filled with fear and run out of the room. Because their evolution has not come to that place as yet. This is why I say, do not concern yourself with others. Rather look to yourself. If you have been devoted to yourself at home, understanding that you are the self, that you are consciousness, and you've been pure to yourself, something will guide you to your next step of spiritual unfoldment. Everything takes care of itself. But you have to take the first steps. This is why there's no one here tonight that has not been in spiritual life for quite a while. Otherwise, Jnana Marga would be foolishness to you. So you are where you're supposed to be. The universe never makes mistakes.
Tell myself that I am a pure consciousness. I do that. How do I get myself to that place where I believe that, or am I just in another delusion?
So you already made a mistake, because when you said I am, you're thinking of your physical self, aren't you?
But that's what I heard you say.
I am. Did you come late?
Pardon?
Did you come late?
No.
Were you from the beginning?
You spoke of pure consciousness.
When you say when you wake up, I am pure consciousness or pure awakening, pure reality, you are referring to I am. You're not referring to your physical self or to what you think you are. I am is consciousness. I am is pure awareness. I am is not your body. It has nothing to do with you. That's why I repeat it so much. When you say I am, you are not referring to your body or to your state of being. You are referring to absolute reality, to power Brahman. So when you first wake up and you say, I am pure awareness, immediately you will get a feeling of joy and bliss.
How do I differentiate? Do I know if that's the truth or a delusion? Or am I in another fantasy with that?
Do not try at all to know. Simply make the statement and leave it at that. Now when questions come up like you just asked, I wonder if I'm saying the truth or am I an illusion? Ask yourself the question, to whom comes those thoughts? That's how you follow it up. Who thinks they're an illusion or they're fooling themselves? To whom do these thoughts come? And follow it through. If you do that, you will wake up one morning and you will state, I am as pure consciousness, and you will be in bliss.
Just by saying the words.
Just by saying that and identifying with them in their reality. But again, if anything else pops up in your mind, ask yourself, to whom does this come? And follow it through. You're killing two birds with one stone. That's a terrible expression, isn't it? Who wants to kill two birds with one stone? Who came up with all these expressions? If you think about that, you'll see you're getting double credit. Because you're saying, I am this pure awareness. And when the other thoughts pop up in your mind, you're asking, to whom do they come? So you're attacking yourself from all directions. Something's got to give sooner or later. But put it to practice. Make it work for you.
So by doing that, it creates a surrendering, a giving up, a letting go.
You can say that, yes. But if those words come to you as you're doing it again, ask yourself, who has to surrender? Who is there to let go?
So, Robert, is it that which recognizes itself?
That you speak of is self-contained consciousness. It only knows itself. And you are that self.
What happens when ego intercedes?
Ask yourself, to whom does it come? Whatever pops up, you do the same thing. To whom does this come?
We're asking, who's aware of this be equivalent?
Who's aware of this?
Yeah, who's aware of the whatever comes up? That's the equivalent question?
Well, that's not too clear. It's better to ask, to whom does it come? Four different thoughts arise. You have to take them one at a time. If you say who's aware of this, it's sort of ambiguous. But if you're feeling some kind of fear or you think you're wasting your time, you merely ask, to whom does this come? Who feels this? I do. Who am I?
Robert, I almost feel like I've been hearing this, and it's just occurring to me that I'm missing something very basic, and I don't know what it is exactly, but it's who asked, what I want to know is who's asking the question.
Ask yourself who's asking the question. Whatever comes up, go right back to self-inquiry. Until you get rid of everything.
There's an entity other than the mind that's operating?
There's no entity at all. Nothing is operating. What's operating are your thoughts that appear to be operating. So you must keep asking yourself, to whom do these thoughts come?
Instead of the line of being an empty vessel, that's, it's identifying with an empty vessel.
Well, again, you have a concept of an empty vessel, that's got to go. All concepts, all ideas, all preconceived ideas have to go. If you think you're an empty vessel, then you keep seeing yourself as an empty vessel. And that keeps you back. It's all got to go.
Then the one that asked the question must go also.
Of course. The one who asked the question is like the stick that stirs the fire. You throw in all the twigs. And you keep stirring. In the end, you throw in the stick also. It all has to be burnt up in consciousness.
After you throw in that stick, it takes a while for that stick to burn up. And that's like the aftermath?
Says who?
I'm asking.
If you believe it takes a while, it takes a while. But why should it take a while? Your real nature is here now.
Robert, in the silence, when which doesn't seem to last very long before thoughts come up, also I'm aware of this physical grip, something that when I'm aware of the thought, I'm also aware that with the thought has come this tension. And when I can really release the tension, I can stay in the moment. Can you help me with that?
Yes, you're making it complicated for yourself. As soon as you feel tension, ask yourself, to whom does it come?
Yes.
And then keep going down.
Is that related to the thought at all, or is it just?
Of course it is. Tensions relate to all thoughts. Thoughts bring tension, and tension brings thoughts.
I'm not aware that the thoughts are tension-provoking thoughts. They just seem to be just alone.
Then no matter how they come, ask yourself, to whom do they come? No matter what it is, use the same procedure. Until you get rid of everything.
Same procedure for the experience of physical pain?
Yes, sure. You may ask yourself, to whom does this pain come? And you will realize it's your ego that feels it. So when the realization comes that you are not the ego, the pain may disappear. Why not? Where does it come from? It's part of the body, the belief that you are the body. When that belief is eliminated, everything that goes with it is also eliminated.
What are useful way or ways to work on disbelieving in the body?
What are useful ways?
How to get rid of the body idea.
What have we been talking about all night? Ask yourself, to whom does the body come?
Is this not a manifestation of ego? So what would a process, I can't kill the ego, that's my belief, maybe I can. What is a process to go beyond that? Does the ego reconstruct itself as through a series of spiritual growth? Or what do I just have to watch for that constantly?
As you continue to work on yourself, the ego, like a balloon, begins to become deflated. And it bothers you less and less. As you keep inquiring, who am I? Who am I? To whom does this come? Your ego becomes smaller and smaller, until it finally disappears.
When I'm inquiring, in the process of inquiry, when I seem to face silence, I should ask to whom this silence comes to.
If you're thinking about silence, you ask. The real silence is not a thought.
Right.
So if you're thinking about silence, ask who's thinking about silence. To whom does the thought come?
Yeah. If I'm aware, or I believe that I'm aware of certain silence, probably I'm just thinking about it.
The real silence comes when there's no one to be aware. The one who is aware has been transcended.
So he may not, he doesn't, I mean, in that position there is no need for any,
no.
To whom this comes to.
In that position there's only silence.
Right.
It doesn't come and it doesn't go. It just is.
What relationship should we have to the body, the body-mind phenomena, the personal life?
You shouldn't have any relationship. Because it doesn't exist in reality. This is what I meant before, that your personal I and your body will always take care of itself. It has nothing to do with you. Your job is to identify with consciousness, and your body will take care of itself.
Born in a, say, the jungle or something, live their life according to just a natural way of life, no concepts, no ideas from anywhere. Would that person be in the silence that they're speaking?
It all has to do with karma. It depends on your karma.
But you said there wasn't any karma.
There isn't. But you're speaking of a person being born in the jungle. So as long as somebody is born, there's karma.
Well, I'm conditioned.
If you understood that there's no karma, there wouldn't be any jungle, and there wouldn't be anybody being born. But as long as you feel there is, then it's karma.
Caught up in
sure, what kinds of stories? You have analogies, stories, predicaments, it's all karmic. It doesn't exist.
It's always you just start thinking.
You've got it, that's it.
You said that when you had this realization that you haven't learned anything since.
Okay.
Did you go to school then after that?
Nope.
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 Actually, what? No one went to school.
No one went to school. Oh, okay, we're back.
What would I do in school after that?
Well, you became a psychologist, am I correct?
Nah.
And then you were a faker.
I faked it.
But you've read things. You've read poetry.
I still read things.
But as you said, just to find out what they're about rather than what he's reading, like you've never read all the works of Shakespeare.
Not really, but I've been through it, I know about it. You know, I've read lots of books. But it's meaningless.
But not to learn, just to see what they're about.
Just to see what's going on.
Robert, can I ask you what your relationship was with Christian Murray on his... he deals with, I guess, more of looking at the context.
Well, what can I say?
I don't know.
Something we've done there.
I didn't have any personal relationship with Christian Murray. He had a message.
Robert, an inquiring, doesn't there come a time when, like, you just have to stay silent and you feel yourself is being drawn in? Do you still look at it? As long as you're aware of it, do you still question it?
As you keep asking yourself, who am I? You become quieter and quieter until the day comes when you stop asking and you remain in silence.
But I'm talking about during the inquiry, like you have an experience of like almost like your awareness is going somewhere. Do you still keep questioning?
You will automatically do what you have to do. As you keep questioning, you will find that you're becoming calmer and quieter and more blissful. And you will question less and less.
But as long as you're aware, you question.
As long as you're physical, you question. Okay, let's close our eyes for a few moments. Pay attention to your respiration. Become the witness to your respiration. Realize that the breath is part of the bodily procedure, but yet you're able to watch it, to observe it. You become the witness to your breathing. If thoughts come to you, simply observe them also. And go back to watching your breath. Now ask yourself, who is the witness? Who watches? I am. With your breathing, inhale and say I, exhale and say am.